Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Joe O Show.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
Smartest world is this. You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
Be careful out there, people. Not just because for you young people. A full night of drinking ahead of you. I remember those days. Those days were fun. It feels like I'm always here on the Wednesday of Thanksgiving in the evening, hosting on 670 The Score. Be anywhere else. We got a full show planned tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm here till 9:15, bringing you to Bulls pregame, which will be hosted by my buddy Rick Camp. Speaking of my friends, we're going to be hanging out tonight. Herb Lawrence on the other side of the glass for the final time in this shift before he moves to middays. We'll talk about that before I get out of here. Chris Dickens running the board at 6:20. Brian Perez, NBCSportsChicago.com. I've known Brian a long time, and he's a bit of a draft expert. I used to always bring him on to talk about that. And ever since he made the move to covering the Bears full time, he's always been a big Bears fan. I haven't had a chance to talk to him, so he's going to jump on. We're going to have a big picture look at this Bears team and also preview the game as far as tomorrow goes. 7:40, Dave Sherapan, bookmaker for CG Technology. As far as some of these odds makers that you see on the air and TV and radio more and more, I think he's the best there is. So I'm going to find out where the sharp money's going, what people are betting as far as tomorrow, what he likes in those three Thanksgiving games, because I know a lot of you got to have a parlay, right? You're going to bet all three games. You're going to sit there all day. Okay, we'll tell you what to do. There's also a college football game at night, like 15 games in college on Friday, rivalry weekend for all the Saturday games. Get the Iron Bowl. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ohio State, Michigan, then the Sunday games. The buys are done in the NFL. What a great 4 days for football, and especially if you're into betting. So Dave Sherapan will be here at 7:40, 8 o'clock. Rick Camp in studio. We can talk about the Bulls, the NBA. A lot of NBA games going on tonight. I want to see if he's got a side in this Bulls-Warriors game. But also, of course, when you talk to a Rick Camp, he comes prepared to talk about food. So we're going to talk about some Thanksgiving options. Not your usual turkey, mashed potatoes. We all know about that stuff. Maybe green bean casserole if you're in on that. I was doing You Better You Bet last night, and we were asking some of our guests their favorite Thanksgiving food. I don't know what is wrong with these gambling people. Like, the majority were saying cranberry sauce. I'm like, get out of here. That sits on the table at grandma's and nobody touches, and she's asking, why isn't anybody eating? Because nobody wants it. Because it's trash compared to everything else on the table. And the 15 desserts. Come on, keep it moving. Don't waste the space. You don't need to just because. So we'll talk about Thanksgiving food with Rick Camp. Tony Gill will drop by at 8:40. His last day is later this week. And speaking of last day, well, at least on this shift, he's not leaving the station. Herb's never, ever leaving the score. But Herb is making the move to middays. And I want to talk to Herb a few times. We're going to do a segment on the White Sox as we keep hearing all these rumors about Zach Wheeler, but there were a lot of teams apparently on Zach Wheeler. It's that time of the year. These agents are going to connect 15 teams to their player, trying to drive up the market a little bit. Also want to get in on the Cubs conversation as well. John Heyman was tweeting out yesterday that, yeah, there's talks going on. Gordon Whitmire was on that a couple of weeks ago, but it's the day before Bears Lions, of course, and I wouldn't blame you if you weren't, clearing the decks like you were a year ago. I understand. Nationally, it's going to be obviously the lowest rated of the three games. There's not a lot to be excited about unless you're like me and you've been betting that first half Bears under all season long. Then you've been cashing a lot of tickets. They can't score an offensive touchdown in the first half. You go back to that Eagles game, that's 12 games now. They have not scored an offensive touchdown in the first half of 9 of 12 games. It's an absolute joke.
Have you spoke to your man from Was it Darren for Hayward, Iowa?
What was the official bet? I have it saved somewhere. First off, we bet on the Broncos game, right?
That, yes. that was 50, and then he doubled or nothing the next game.
I thought I had that tweet saved somewhere.
Texted in a few times saying that he'll
here it is. Here it is.
How to reach out to you.
Because I saved it on Twitter because I knew I'd have to reference that. So I already cashed the Bears. Oh, it was Packers. He told me the Bears are going to beat the Packers by at least 10 points. It wasn't just a straight-up win. It was they were going to win by at least 10, so I took the action there. So I won that bet, and then the other $50 bet was Bears will win 11-plus games. So a 10-6 season, I was winning that. That is a perfect example of all the hype that we had around this team coming into the year. And now we sit on Thanksgiving. Who said, well, that Lions game, it's always tough on Thanksgiving, but they might get to 500. Nobody was saying that. Let's go positive before we go negative, because every Bears conversation had you down that negative road for good reason. I mean, give me something to be positive about, but they're going to get upset, and they're going to try and talk to Bears fans about how they should not be booing them this year when you guys are the ones spending your money and all of your time. And I wouldn't blame you if you stopped doing that moving forward. I mean, I've talked to plenty of people that are doing that, and I completely get it. Like, there's a great slate of NFL football. Why would you just say, I'm going to lock in on this one Bears game, which means absolutely nothing? They're just probably going to keep Trubisky at the end of the season anyways. But if you're going to go positive, when you're looking at this Bears-Lions game, by the way, the point spread keeps going up. We haven't gotten word that it's not going to be Driscoll, but... I mean, that's what you're hoping for. I hope not that it's David Blow or Blau, whatever his name is, out there for the Lions. But when the Bears have played really bad teams, they've won games. They haven't gotten the job done over the course of the season, but the really bad teams, the other time they played the Lions, Giants last week, early in the year, Broncos, Redskins, they've won those games. If you're competent for the most part, you have a decent team. The Bears have lost those games. You have a decent quarterback, Bears are going to lose. Outside, the outlier is that Minnesota Vikings game.
Let's be honest, though, that those are games that they've also almost lost. Outside of the Washington game, those are games they also almost lost.
The Lions game came down to the last play of the game. They had a chance to tie it.
The Giants game came down
to the last play of the game. They had a chance there. The Minnesota game was never in doubt. The Washington game, never in doubt, I don't think. Like, there was a time in the second half, like, what are they doing?
In the third quarter.
They had only the second quarter offensively. Washington.
I remember me tweeting something about if this Bears team shows up versus the Vikings are going to stomp them. And I got a bunch of Bears fans like, oh, no, you're wrong. Where did they get dominated? It's like, yes, if you watch the tape, yeah. Washington in that third quarter dominated the Bears.
They could have lost that Denver game.
They could have lost that Denver. That came down to a game-winning kick.
That's the first thing I think of. Game-winning kick, the Bradley Chubb penalty, the extra second that was put on the clock. There are a lot of things going the Bears' way in that game. So for everybody to say that everything's going against the Bears like it was going for them last year and it's gone the other way, not so much.
We did a preview, and you pointed out that the turnover luck and the injury luck the Bears had in 2018 will not continue into 2019.
Right.
Like, the luck the Bears had last year with the schedule also was good. It was a great thing for them.
You need some of that when you don't have an offense.
But also, none of us saw this falling off the table, no. Both of Mitchell Trubisky and Matt Nagy.
Nope.
And maybe...
I think it's just the way it's happened. Really, could you see 5-6? I could see it. I could. But this is also the easy part of the schedule. You're getting the Lions without Matthew Stafford in both games. You're getting the Giants, Danny Dimes. If he doesn't have that turnover, he's been fumbling it all year. If he doesn't have that turnover, do they win that game on Sunday? I don't know. And I know people are thinking, well, they also don't have a kicker. That's on them. Don't have a professional tight end. That's on them. Don't have a run game. That's on them. Like, they can point the finger if they want. But a lot of these issues that people bring up to me, that it's not all Trubisky, you're right. But that's on the general manager in hiding. So there goes going positive. They've beaten the bad teams. And the point spread's 4, 4.5. It wouldn't surprise me if you wake up tomorrow, if you have not made your wager, if you're into that, it's sitting at 5, 5.5. Over 80% of the bets coming in on the Bears. I will tell you, that would not excite me if I was a Bears fan. I wouldn't be too excited about that. And also, look at the quarterbacks, too. So they've beaten bad quarterbacks, and they're going to get another bad quarterback tomorrow. Can they make a run? Can they? No. You don't have any evidence of that. So you're a bum slayer. Cool. It's going to happen in the playoffs if you were to somehow get there. They're not going to get there. So
I want you to look at every game this season. It's been one good quarter every game. That's all they play is one good quarter.
It's interesting.
And then they're done.
A lot of, usually the third quarter has been fantastic with Trubisky. And coming into this to the year, he had more struggles on the road, and he dominated at home. Splits have been pretty even this season, but it hasn't been much of a sample size because he didn't play in that London game. And in the last 2 months, he's had two true road games. And I mean, the Eagles, he didn't even complete 50% of his passes, and that's a very weak secondary. Teams have been picking on that secondary all season long. That's why they've had a tough time winning games. I mean, this is what's going on in Detroit, by the way. If you're not taking a look, I understand. Nobody's really paying attention to the lines. They're not doing that much of that over in Detroit. They're doing the cheap media ploy on the radio and in the newspapers and Detroit Free Press. They're telling the fans to boycott the game. That's how you send a message to ownership. Boycott the Thanksgiving game because that's the only thing we have. We never make the playoffs. We're on the national stage. Boycott that game. I mean, maybe you'll see a few fans with brown bags over their heads. Yippee. Never seen that before. That always works. How many years have you been seeing that with Cleveland Browns Nation doing that? What's happened? Nothing. I mean, so that's what you're going up against. Going up against a third or maybe a second string quarterback limited with the hamstring injury. They're an absolute mess. Absolute mess. One time this year, things were looking pretty good for the Lions, but now they've lost 7 of 8 games. Big story yesterday, I guess, was Akeem Hicks later on in the day. His appearance up the dial. This usually happens when a team racks up a lot of losses. Everybody's riding high last year. Yeah, sign me up. I want my own show, too. He makes out a show on this station last year, Mullion Hall. I don't get him. The clip was on Twitter, and I know a lot of people were able to hear it. Him getting very upset with Tom Waddle and hanging up. Tom Waddle, not in the wrong at all, by the way. I will remind you that he played that game a lot here on The Score. He was on the morning show every week. He'd show up about half the time. And it felt like he was looking to pick a fight in a 12-4 season. Don't ask him about Khalil Mack. Really? Think he's had no impact on the season that Hicks had a year ago? Why sign up to do it if you don't want to do the appearance? I know it's been hard on him. He's had the injury, and he's got to answer those questions, looking for an update. He can't go out there to help his team stop the run, which they can't seem to do later on in games, especially up the gut with Hicks's absence. And the defense has been allowing fourth quarter touchdowns and yeah, they've had a really good year, but that defense wasn't giving up all these fourth quarter touchdowns. They weren't wearing down at the end of games. Part of that is on the offense, but it's also on the defense. They're just simply not as dominant as they were a year ago, and that's understandable. Look at what they were doing. They weren't going to turn the football over that much again, and they weren't going to be able to stop defenses as much, and you get a new defensive coordinator. That's all part of it. But, man, they do not like your brewing. They really hate it. We've heard Tariq Cohen talk about it. Eddie Jackson's talked about it on this station. And for context, that's what led up to Akeem Hicks hanging up. That's where the conversation was going. And he was saying, you know, I'm a Lakers fan. I would never boo my Lakers. I don't care. I would never, ever do that. And so he was getting a little bit heated. It's all fair. Why isn't it fair? What have you given Bears fans to cheer about? That's my question for Akeem Hicks or Tariq Cohen or Eddie Jackson. What is it? Because the offense can't score in the first half. They only seem to move the football when Trubisky's on the move and the head coach is stubborn and he doesn't want to keep him on the move. I formation's working. Okay, let's go away from that. 2 minute works a lot. Mitch Trubisky plays well in tempo. He talked about it to the media, like basically begging, hey, can we do more of this, please? And we see it. We see it in the 2 minute offense, the end of the first half, and the end of games. They're moving the football, but he doesn't want to stick with it. He wants to run his offense. He wants to run his plays. Nagy wants to win a specific way. They're not a likable team right now. And they don't like your booing, and you have every right to boo. I'm not a boo guy. But I will tell you, there have been times this season, it has been so frustrating this year. As they've gone to halftime, like that Chargers game, when they were trotting off the field. Eagles game, when they were leaving the field. Another half in which they did not score an offensive touchdown. I was booing from the couch by myself. Boo! That's how bad it's been this season. And yeah, the defense has regressed and the quarterback has, but you were just looking for average. Could the head coach just give you average on offense? That's why he was here. Came here to fix the offense, and it's going the opposite direction. So there's my positivity. Bears can beat bad teams. Lions are a bad team. With that said, I picked the Lions to win the game on the website, 17-16. That's good news for you, because I can't pick a Bears straight-up winner to save my life. I make the pick because Cody Westerlund, our editor, asked me to make the pick, but I have zero confidence anything involving that game, aside from first half under 19. Go that route. Bears can't score on offense in the first half unless it's a defensive and or special team score, and they don't give up a lot of points in the first half. And Driscoll, blah, whichever guy's the quarterback, they should have scored a touchdown in the first half against this Bears defense. So that's your play. It feels like that could be another rock bottom. While a lot of people have already jumped ship, they're going to be barely paying attention tomorrow if they lose to this Lions team. From the country, that could be another rock bottom. It's just kind of looking better. But are they putting up points? No, they're not. Can you get to 20? Can you do that for me? That's all you need. I mean, multiple times this year, this defense has allowed 17 points or fewer, and they've lost games. Ridiculous. All right, coming up next, I'll check in with my buddy Brian Perez, NBCSportsChicago.com. Take a step back. I want to talk about his Bears quarterback big board. Interesting conversation about some of the different options in addition to Trubisky. And maybe Trubisky's actually the best option that the Bears are going to have this offseason and also the game tomorrow. You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joe Ostrowski here, and this hour on The Score, brought to you by Hawthorne Race Course. More horses, more races, and more action. I can't believe it took me this long to realize, wait, I've got to get my guy Brian Perez on. He's been covering the NFL draft, doing a knockout job at it for years and years, and I'd have him on the really late show before I was on this shift, talking about Bears picks and just looking ahead to drafts and recapping some drafts. But now he writes about the Bears for NBCSportsChicago.com. Follow him on Twitter at Brian Perez NFL. Brian is spelled with the Y. Brian, I told you over Twitter, congrats, but congrats over the air on 670 The Score.
I really appreciate it, Joe. It's a pleasure to be back on the air with you, even though I wish we were in the middle of a better Bears season. Still a pleasure nonetheless, and before we get too deep into Bears talk, a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and all the listeners out there.
Thank you so much, and the same to your family as well. We'll get in the weeds with the Bears here in a minute, but one reason that I was like, oh, I got to get Brian on, is I was sitting on Twitter this afternoon looking up a few things, and then one of your columns came by on TweetDeck, and I had to do a double take. It was Brian Perez's Bears quarterback big board and about how Mitchell Trubisky is climbing the ranks amongst Dalton, Mariota, and Bridgewater.
This is true, Joe. It's maybe a hard reality to swallow for Bears fans out there, but the reality is Trubisky's last three games, even though by traditional NFL quarterback evaluation standards, maybe still fall short of what we'd like to see from a franchise-caliber quarterback. You have to remember that the general manager, Ryan Pace, handpicked this guy, and he's going to look for any positive reasons to keep him as the quarterback moving forward in 2020, even if it's just a collection of average games that he can string together, which is what he's done over the last 3 weeks. I mean, it's not that each game has been four quarters of good play. J.J. Stankiewicz over at NBC Sports Chicago put an amazing column together. I recommend everybody check it out, about how Trubisky's third quarter performances have really been his benchmark, his watermark on the year, and he's doing that again over these last three games. And I think he's going to keep climbing this board if he continues to finish the year the way he's played over the last 3 weeks. You know, we could end up seeing the reality of Trubisky still under center in 2020, even if it's not my first choice. I think I have to make this board with an eye on what really could happen as well. And Trubisky's definitely climbing, even if it makes Bears fans a little nauseous on Thanksgiving Eve.
Brian, this might surprise you a little bit based on some of my tweets or my opinions that I've thrown out there, but I am 100% on the same page with you. They're going to look for any reason to make sure this works, especially the guy that keeps on hiding, Ryan Pace. And there are so many other things you can point to. And there are some Trubisky backers that say, well, it's not all on Trubisky. And I've never said it's all on Trubisky. You can point to the regression on the offensive line, absolutely. You can point to the rookie running back, and maybe more of the lack of a run game is on the coach and on the O-line. They don't have an NFL-quality tight end on the roster. These receivers can't stop dropping balls. So it's not all on Trubisky. And over the last few games, you have seen some improvement from him.
It's true. You have seen some improvement from him, and it's also true that the Trubisky fans and the Trubisky backers will pass the buck, for lack of a better term, for his poor play on his surroundings, offensive line, wide receivers dropping passes, the running game not being there. But as you said, Joe, in the opening there, I kind of cut my teeth in this industry in the NFL draft, and that's, you know, obviously evaluating players and trying to project forward. And that also kind of crosses over into pro scouting and pro evaluation. And we've seen almost 1,100 regular season passes for Mitch Trubisky at this point. He's in the third year of his career. At some point, Joe, a player is who they're going to be. And I don't know what that magic number of pass attempts has to be put on tape before you can make a firm assessment of what a guy is. But I have to imagine it's less than 1,100, and we've seen that number of throws. I think it's 1,087 regular season throws from Trubisky entering week 13, entering tomorrow's game against the Lions. And even if the offensive line is fantastic, even if the receivers are catching every pass, even if they have a 1,300-yard back, you're still going to see the same kind of passer that we've seen Trubisky over his first 1,100 throws. Now, maybe it obviously gets a little better with a better supporting cast, but is he a franchise quarterback? Does he have a ceiling that we still don't know how high it is? I don't know. I'm kind of in the camp now where we kind of know who he's going to be.
Yes.
And the Bears have to do a better job of surrounding him with the offensive line, and the system that maximizes maybe an average or slightly above average skill set at this point.
And Brian, to your point, if he's anything close to what they thought he was going to be, he would elevate the play of the receivers, the offensive line, and the run game. You quickly mentioned that he might not be your first choice right now. Well, who would be?
That's a really tough call, right? Because it's kind of like, you know, sometimes it's better to go with the enemy you know than the enemy you don't. And at this point, is an Andy Dalton a better answer for the Bears in 2020, a veteran guy who probably could be a really good game manager, could run Matt Nagy's system with efficiency, more predictable from down to down. He's not going to make those head-scratching throws like we saw from Trubisky to Javon Wims last week. I mean, I think Dalton still is tops right now on my wish list, even if that's not necessarily a sexy pick. If they're not going to go with a guy like Dalton, believe it or not, a player like Ryan Tannehill is showing what he can do in the right system, kind of like that Alex Smith rebirth with the Titans. I don't know if Tennessee's going to let him walk. I think he's going to get a multi-year deal from him. So if he's off the market, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to go for guys like Cam Newton. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, maybe he would serve well as a starter in Chicago, or maybe he's just perfectly fit to be Drew Brees' backup. I think the ideal scenario for the Bears would be to figure out a way to land one of the top three or four quarterback prospects in this year's draft. Maybe Trubisky is a bridge, believe it or not, to that guy, and see what they get. You know, a guy like Jalen Hurts, for example, probably would slip into the end of the first round. Maybe the Bears can get aggressive. I wrote about this, too, on NBC Sports Chicago today. Maybe they can get aggressive, trade back into the end of the first round for a guy like him who has that skill set that the NFL is trending toward, which we all kind of thought Trubisky had, too, but he's regressed in that department from being a dual threat. So I think the answer could come more in the NFL draft than anywhere else. But if we're tapping into the veteran free agent market, Andy Dalton still seems like the most logical choice at this point for the Bears.
And Bears fans, speaking of Andy Dalton, maybe you want to keep an eye on Jets-Bengals, believe it or not, this weekend, because Dalton getting a chance to play once again after Cincinnati realized, yeah, this is a Ryan Finley thing. He ain't it. So we're going to go back to Dalton. We need to get a victory, and they have a shot at doing that this weekend against the Jets. Brian Perez with me from NBC Sports Chicago. He writes about the Bears over there, NBCSportsChicago.com. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Brian Perez NFL, and check out some of his fine work, along with guys like J.J. Stankovic and John Moon Mullen. Brian, one thing about Matt Nagy that I didn't realize a season ago during that magical 12-4 run was how stubborn he is. And that's been front and center this year, especially with the play calling. Trubisky, very successful when you move the pocket. He doesn't do that enough. At times, they've been successful running it out of the I formation. And for some reason, Nagy likes to go away from it and run some of the other plays that he has at his arsenal. Do you view Matt Nagy as stubborn like I do?
I think stubborn is probably a good way to describe him, but, you know, we could also say he's kind of mirroring the season that Mitch Trubisky's having at quarterback. I mean, these are two guys who are relatively inexperienced in the roles that they're serving this year in Chicago. Nagy's a second-year head coach. Trubisky's in his third year as a starting quarterback. Neither of those two resumes screams a body of success that you could say, well, you know, Nagy was calling plays for the Chiefs for 10 years before he got to Kansas City. That really wasn't the case. So I think what we're seeing, Joe, is the product of unreasonable expectations that were created in 2018 for a team that really overplayed and outplayed what they were supposed to be in year one with Nagy, in year two with Trubisky. They won 12 games. They won their first NFC North championship in nearly a decade. They had a playoff game. So everyone thought the answers were in place, that Nagy was this innovative offensive genius, that Trubisky was a dark horse MVP candidate. And the reality is it just wasn't the case. I mean, if Bears fans had a chance in August of 2018, when Matt Nagy was in his first training camp with the team, if Bears fans were told in less than two seasons, this team would be hovering around 500 and in the fight for the playoffs in week 13 of 2019, that would sound like a resounding success for where this team was just 2.5 years ago. So I think we have to kind of take a step back, look at the big picture, realize that Nagy is still kind of figuring out how to be a head coach in the NFL, even though he had a first season of unbelievable success. Mitch Trubisky maybe just isn't the guy, He's good enough to lead a team to a 500 record, but not good enough to consistently win 12 games unless the defense is kicking, contributing their defensive touchdowns as well. So I don't know if it's necessarily Nagy being stubborn. It might be more about Nagy learning on the job how to manage a young quarterback who he still probably doesn't really know what he does all that well. And unfortunately, I think we're not going to know until 2020 the true story of who Matt Nagy is as a head coach. Because if he doesn't learn from what he did well in like 2018, what maybe needed some improvement in 2019, and we're just seeing much of the same in 2020, then I think you could make a fairer assessment of who he is as a play caller. Because it's obvious that he does have that stubborn quality. I mean, anybody ranging from a Bears fan, a casual Bears fan, to a deep-diving insider will tell you that, you know, Matt Nagy could be doing things to play more to Trubisky's strengths that for one reason or another, he's just not doing. Now, we're not there at practice every week. We're not there with a game plan install. We don't know how well Trubisky is mastering a game plan during the week. Maybe Nagy goes into every game with a lot more confidence in his quarterback than he should have. We'll find all that out in terms of what that final assessment is on his quarterback when as the season kind of winds down.
Nagy will be the first to tell you that they lack an identity right now, and he's 100% correct. We'll get into the game tomorrow and your thoughts on that. But since we were talking about the quarterback earlier, and you mentioned maybe drafting a guy as using Trubisky as a bit of a bridge, and then you think about all the draft picks that Ryan Pace has given up in deals to move up, they do have two twos coming up next year, and that's all their picks in the first four rounds. Two in the first four rounds. Outside of quarterback, what do you think the biggest needs on this team are?
I mean, they have to address the offensive line, Joe. I mean, they just have to. You're not going to be a competitive football team if you don't have an offensive line that can at least give your offense a chance to have positive plays on first and second down. And I don't know what's happened with this offensive line. Coming into the season, it was viewed as one of the better units in the NFL. It was viewed as one of the team's strengths. But I think we're seeing the combination of Charles Leno and Bobby Massey are really just an average duo at offensive tackle. Now, look, you could do a lot worse than those guys, and it's not saying that they have to find a replacement for Leno or Massey, but they're not playing like elite offensive tackles that if you look around the league and you look at some of the better offenses, you can at least hang your hat on a good duo of offensive tackle play week in and week out. Even more probably troubling is the interior of the offensive line, because now in today's NFL, you have these interior defensive linemen who are as good of pass rushers as your edge guys. And if your offensive guards are constantly getting bullied up the middle, you're not going to develop a good running game. You're going to have pressure that's coming right down the middle in the face of the quarterback that's going to throw off the rhythm of the passing game almost immediately at the snap of the ball. So the interior of the offensive line is just as much of a priority as any spot on the roster. And that, you know, having two second-round picks, that's kind of the wheelhouse for offensive guards, to find starting guards. You could find one in the second round. So I would say that if you're looking at, if it's not a quarterback, which, to be honest with you, I mean, is Ryan Pace really going to say he's going to spend his first or even his second pick in the draft on a quarterback if he commits to Mitch Trubisky to the point where they don't even add a veteran on the roster? He's probably going to stay away from the position altogether. So then you'd have to turn your attention to the offensive line, tackle, guard, whatever route they go, they have to get better up front.
With Brian Perez, Bears writer, NBCSportsChicago.com, you've got the Joe O Show. As far as tomorrow goes, what are the keys to a Bears victory when most of the country will be spending their time in cars? Like, yeah, that's a good time to travel to grandma's house during that awful Bears-Lions game.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? I mean, the Bears should win this game, you know, with their eyes closed. Yes. I mean, there is no – the Lions just lost to the Washington Redskins. If the Bears cannot win this game by two scores, the theory of, well, they can make a run for the playoffs over the last five games of the year, I mean, you just got to put it to bed. Even if they make a run for the playoffs, they're not going anywhere if they can't handily defeat the Detroit Lions with Jeff Driscoll, an injured Jeff Driscoll nonetheless, under center. I think you just need to play mistake-free football. Mitch Trubisky has to manage the offense to get to at least 17 points of offensive points. That's not factoring in any potential defensive touchdowns. But Trubisky has to manage the game. They have to get David Montgomery going, which usually on a Thursday night short week, the running game, you know, they should be able to take advantage of some banged up defensive linemen. Those guys are just getting the previous game's bumps and bruises out of their system. So they might be able to develop a little more of a running game. And the defense has to make timely plays. They can't let a guy like Jeff Driskel, you know, make the inconceivable third and 15 first down conversion. They can't let things like that happen. So it really just comes down to playing simple, basic, mistake-free football, convert on third down, don't turn the ball over, convert on your extra points and field goal attempts.
Brian, that's how bad it's been this year. Like, you've got to make it a point to say convert the field goals and extra points.
I mean, really, because points are such a premium for the Bears. If they can get 17, they're going to beat the Lions. You know, and they'll score 17 points if Pinheiro makes his kicks and Trubisky doesn't turn the ball over. They're going to do that. So if they don't, I mean, then just the flush the toilet on the season this year. It's over, and it's just more about roster evaluation and player evaluation over the final months of the season.
Brian, I can't believe it took us this long to get this done. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to bug you a few more times before the season wraps, all right?
Joe, my phone line is always open, man. It was a pleasure.
At Brian Perez NFL, he's a Bears writer for NBCSportsChicago.com. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Start your Thanksgiving weekend right with some Chicago Wolves hockey tonight at 7. Craft beer night. Get a ticket and 3 craft beers for one low price. Go to ChicagoWolves.com. We've got some breaking news involving this Bears-Lions game just coming down. Jeremy Fowler tweets this. Quarterback David Blau is expected to start for the Lions on Thursday per source. Jeff Driskel still recovering from the hamstring injury. There it is, folks. Blau is in. Driskel out. I was cracking jokes a couple of weeks ago for Sunday Night Football that it was Trubisky against Goff. Now we get Trubisky against Blau. Purdue fans, don't get upset. Get upset.
Still going to be a
three-point
game.
The puns are not going to stop. They are not. Nobody even knows how to say this guy's name yet. Nobody knows. But is he better than Driskel? Is he better than Trubisky? We'll find out. After watching that game a couple weeks ago, there were people laughing at Driskel coming into that game, then walking away saying, you know what? I think the Lions had the better quarterback. That was happening. All right, here's my question for you. This breaking news. And everybody has it now. Ian Rappaport has it. All the NFL Network people, ESPN people. So it's out there. Blau is in. I thought Driskel was going to be out there just, you know, with 60, 70%. I think they're going to go down this road. Bears have no idea what he is, but I don't know that it's really going to matter. Finish this sentence for me. I got some tweets on this. You guys are hilarious. I'm going to read some of those coming back. But finish this. If Blau beats the Bears blank. I know a lot of you have declared the season over, and I'm not arguing with you. But you still have some time to evaluate Mitchell Trubisky, and I think a division road game is still important. Even though the Lions' defense sucks, don't do anything that well, and they're down to QB3. It's still a division game on the road in front of the nation. What is Trubisky going to do? It's still a big game. Every game is big. Every one. I know a lot of you have made up your mind on the quarterback. Doesn't mean the Bears have. They went all in on this guy. So if there's a glimmer of hope, you better believe they're going to buy in and maybe offer him that fifth-year option coming up this spring. If the Bears lose to Blau blank, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767, text line 67011. You can also tweet me at JoeO670. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Do you know how much time I spent today figuring out the pronunciation of David Blau's name?
It is Blau, right?
Blau, like Mr. Plow.
Okay.
Call David Blau, again. That's my name. That name again is David Blau. That's how I remember it.
Call Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
Keep the puns going, guys. That was Mike Florio, Bernstein McKnight. That's what everybody's trying to do right now because he is in. News of the hour, Black Wednesday, you got that right. David Blau versus Mitchell Trubisky to start your Thanksgiving Day, 11:30 a.m. First half under, that's the bet. Lines are moving, too. When I got when I got on the air, it was 4, 4.5. Blau news comes down. It's 4.5 across the board, and now there are fives. I can't wait till 7:40. I'm going to talk to Dave Sherapin, bookmaker at CG Technology, and they are sitting at 4.5 right now. By the way, total also down to 37. Is that the lowest of the week? Check in. There are some low ones here. Not sure if there's another one. 37. It's 2019. Totals of 37. It's the era of the quarterback, era of offenses. There's a bunch of games that are in the 30s this week. Some disgusting games. 312-644-6767. Want to get your reaction on David Blau. Oh, good. Let's go to Lafayette, Indiana. Talk about the former Purdue quarterback. Wayne, you're on 670 The Score.
Joe, how's it going, buddy?
What's on your mind, Wayne?
Hey, man, I tell you what, you're doing a great job filling the little big man in Lawrence Holmes' shoes on this night show, man. I appreciate you being in there.
Thank you.
Yeah, David Blau, the guy, he was the quarterback for Purdue when they beat Ohio State, and he's got several 400-yard passing games, and he's kind of like a Kyle Orton type, kind of quiet, but he's not gonna look like no deer in the headlights out there. If Detroit has anybody that'll catch the ball, he's liable to make it a pretty close game, Joe. That's what I want to say to you.
Help me out here. How many years did he start at Purdue?
Well, he and that Sindelar guy, they kind of traded off. There was kind of a tag team like deal, mm-hmm. So it was like three or four years. So he and that Sindelar, the guy who started for Purdue this year, then got the first quarterback that got taken out.
How did he look when he was facing some of the tougher defenses? I know it's not Bears level, but
he connected with his he stuck with the game plan, and he can put the ball right on the spot, and he knows what he's doing. He's a really good passer.
All right,
and so I just want to let you know he kind of reminds me of Kyle Orton in a way, because he's kind of quiet and just kind of takes care of business. And
is he going to turn the ball over? That's the big question.
No, that's the thing that that's very seldom did he turn the ball over.
Okay.
So he might even had a 500-yard passing game. I don't know, or it might have just been 500 total yards. I'm not sure. That's been a while back since I thought about that. But he was big time with that Tyler Trent. You know, that cancer victim that was on ESPN.
Absolutely, great story.
He was a big friend of Tyler Trent's, and funeral. He was at his funeral and stuff, man.
So when Game Day did the story, was Blau in there?
He might have been. He might have been. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He might have been because. That Doyle guy, the Indianapolis reporter and
Greg Doyle.
David Blau used to go. They used to go visit him at his house in Indianapolis all the time. So yeah.
All right, cool. So, Wayne, I appreciate you letting me know a little bit about David Blau. Appreciate it. I know there are a lot of Purdue fans over the border. You can hear 670 The Score over there. Please give us a scouting report. I know it's obviously very different level there, but that's the word. Multiple reports are out. It's going to happen tomorrow at 11:30. David Blau is starting quarterback, not a hobbled Driscoll. Lions decided to go this route, so the lines are moving. We'll continue to talk about this. I do want to get into some baseball later on tonight with the conversations going on or soon to happen with Javi Baez and the Cubs and also with the White Sox. A lot of rumors about Zach Wheeler, but there are a lot of teams that seem to be interested in Wheeler. But we're talking about David Blau next. Your funny reports, responses rather. If the Bears lose to Blau, blank. We'll get to that next. Joe Osho, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.